You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys, a man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stu Gatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate, review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. By doing that, you have made us the biggest podcast in the world. We appreciate it. Bigger than Oprah. Now do it again. Do it for Rachel. Do it for my daughter, who this past weekend became a national champion because her Northwestern women's lacrosse team beat Boston College. They just beat them. They beat him down to win Northwestern's eighth national championship. Yes, I will use my daughter's name, her story, for you to subscribe, rate, review, because my shame knows no boundaries. We're going to hear from her coach, Kelly Amante Hiller, who is the greatest coach in team sports. You may never heard of her. You're about to hear from her, but she has won eight, count them, eight national championships. That is more than Coach K. That is more than Nick Saban. That is more Super Bowls than Bill Belichick. She is a fantastic coach and a fantastic person. To be there this past weekend and to watch what that team achieved, what Kelly achieved, and to see my daughter become a national champion, to be able to sit there and experience that with my wife, with my other daughter, Emma, with my father, with my aunt, with my best friend. It was such a great moment. And for those of you who have followed our show over the many, many years we've been doing it, you know that me coaching Rachel and Rachel's lacrosse career has been a big thread throughout the show since she picked up a stick like 10, 11 years ago. And so I think you guys will really get a kick out of what you're about to hear, unless Billy blows it. But for me sitting there, knowing the hard work, watching that whole thing unfold, knowing the hard work that went into reaching the highest level of her sport, because as you know, I coached her team. So I had a front row seat to witness it all, and it all washed over me as the clock counted down in Cary, North Carolina. It just brought back all the memories, all the tournaments, all the travel, hearing the ball pound against the outside wall of our house at 6 a.m., me walking outside, telling her to quiet down because Dad needed to sleep. me taking her to her first Final Four in Philadelphia, and for her to say to me right then and there, Dad, I want to come back. I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back and play in this thing. And then to see her actually play in the thing was amazing. It was amazing. It was a moment, a weekend, memories that me and my family will never forget. I told Rachel before the game on Sunday, the national championship game, that if you figure there are 30 to 40 kids on each team, BC and Northwestern, that means there are only 70 to 80 girls still standing, that the rest of the lacrosse world was sitting at home watching them. And she felt the moment. She understood. It was really cool. And of course, as a dad, you want your daughter to play, but she's a freshman. Rachel chose the Alabama of lacrosse programs. And so she knew with open eyes going into it that there was going to be a waiting period. She got 3 or 4 minutes of the national semifinal game, which was exactly 3 or 4 minutes more than I thought she would get. And we were super happy about that. But Rachel chose the hard path because life has some adversity. And so she went into it knowing she wouldn't play that much this year, that her time is coming, that she'll get a lot more time sophomore, junior, senior year. And she was okay with that because 3 years playing at this school, 2 years playing at this school is better than 4 years playing anywhere else. It really is. When you have a chance to go to the Final Four and win a natty every single year. But that's not what this weekend was about. This weekend was about seeing your daughter truly happy, truly accepted, and seeing your child's dreams come true. And I hope every parent gets to experience what we just got to experience because it's pretty damn hard to beat. And the reason we had that experience, the reason Rachel had that experience, is because of the person you're about to hear from. Kelly Amante Hiller, who won her 8th national championship. She's the head coach of the Northwestern women's lacrosse team. She is going to join us. I told Billy, and I am skeptical about this, and I am terrified, that Billy can ask any 3 questions he wants at the end of this interview. Billy wanted to fire her earlier this week for not playing my daughter. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm terrified again. This lady is in charge of my daughter. This coach, this person, this wonderful human being is in charge of my daughter for the next 3 years. But I made a promise to Billy. I'm going to stick to it. Billy will get the final 3 questions in, and hopefully Rachel will still have a scholarship at Northwestern when we're done. But here it is. Kelly Amante Hiller, who won her 8th national championship this past weekend, the head coach of the Northwestern women's lacrosse program. You're going to enjoy this. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. For me, it is simple. What I want out of my light beer is ice cold and great taste, and that's exactly what I get from the original light beer, Miller Lite. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most, a light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore.
Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
On Sunday, she won her eighth, that is right, eighth national championship as the head coach of the Northwestern women's lacrosse team. Kelly Amante-Hiller joins us right now. Coach, let's start right there. You won your eighth on Sunday. So what's the last 3 to 4 days? What's the last 72 hours been like for you?
It's been awesome, honestly. I'm just so happy for this team. Happy for all the alums that really contributed to this, but maybe weren't necessarily still on the team, and the coaches and administrators. You know, it was a long journey back to this championship. And it feels good to just kind of take a breath and just reflect and enjoy it, because this is something really special that I know is it doesn't happen too often.
It was a very special weekend for anyone that was involved. And thank you for providing me as a parent of one of your players with moments that I'll remember forever. But Kelly, you mentioned like you waited 11 years for this. So if you don't mind, like, put us there as the clock is winding down. You know you have won your eighth national championship, but first in 11 years, and you've been waiting for a while. Like, what's going through your mind towards the end of the game there?
Well, I think, you know, honestly, last year we kind of felt like we had it, and we let our foot off the gas pedal in the last 10 minutes of the game and ended up losing in the semifinal. And I think that, honestly, we were just like so laser focused on just not letting up, because we didn't want that to happen. And even in the waning moments of the game, when it was pretty secure, it still never felt secure. So I was really in awe of all the people that came to support us. And, you know, just really, I knew what it was like to win a championship because of all the ones before, but I really just tried to stay calm and take every second of it in, and just watch my student athletes celebrate together, watch them go embrace their families, you know, all the sacrifice, all the hard work that goes into something like this. And oftentimes it doesn't happen, and you still sacrifice to actually have it happen is pretty special. So just really, really enjoyed that moment.
Kelly, with time to reflect, like when you look back, why do you think you had a little bit of a dip there, and most colleges, most programs would love to have your dip, but you set the bar so high. So when you look back to the last 11 years, why do you think that you had a little dip, and why do you think it took you so long to accomplish what you did on Sunday?
Honestly, I think that when I came to Northwestern, you know, I came off winning championships as a player. So that was kind of my expectation. It was like, I was young, almost naive to a fault. And I just said, we're doing this, you know, and then we actually went out and did it. And then we kept doing it. And it was really a cool thing, but that became the expectation. And, you know, there was almost like an entitlement to winning. And I think even the kids in the program had this entitlement to winning. And that isn't necessarily a good thing. The fans have an entitlement to us winning. They just expect it. And it's just so hard to be successful. And I think that, like, I was putting so much effort in, and when we didn't win, then you lose a little bit of that confidence, a little bit of your edge. And I was like, all right, well, the thing that I know is work hard. So I'm just going to work harder. And I think the byproduct was almost like putting more pressure on the program, and we started to do not as well. I mean, obviously still very successful, but you know, then we weren't making the Final Four, and that was devastating. And I honestly got to a point, you know, maybe 4 years after the first time we lost, where I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, I got to hit the reset button, because one, this isn't fun anymore. And two, I'm not doing anything that actually got me here. And so I just hit the reset button. I brought my staff in. Obviously, you know, my husband is a big part of my staff, and you know, I really had a heart to heart with him and then the others on my staff. And I just said that, like, we gotta let go of any and all expectations on scoreboard, winning, results. Like, we can't be about that at all. We can't sell that in recruiting. We can't be about that. We need to bring people in. I think when you win, a lot of times people come and they want to get on the win train, and you know, it's just not that easy. And we had to make it very clear to people that, you know, we want them to come in and be about what we're about, and have that same value system and really build back the belief. 'Cause that's what I did in the beginning.
Right.
It wasn't about the scoreboard. It was just about building people, getting them to believe in themselves, getting them to believe in each other. And, you know, then I got a little spark and it started to become a little bit more fun. And then it was like, okay, I got one kid to believe in me. All right, I'm going to try for two now. And it just started to spiral, and it wasn't all good, you know, and it wasn't quick. But I think this particular team kicked it over the edge. This team, this parent group, you know, they just believed. They believed in us as a staff. And, you know, when you feel that, it's you feel like you can do anything. And then the kids start believing. And then everybody feels like they can achieve anything. And, you know, I just said to them on the bus ride home, I was like, I hope you take this lesson with you forever. That, like, when you pour into something and you really, really, truly believe that eventually you can do it. You can get it. And it's not going to be easy. It might be rocky and you might want to quit at one point, but you get yourself over that top and it's pretty special.
Coach, in the down years, was your husband Scott ever on the hot seat? Like, cause it's like a situation where we need to change things up a little and it's him or me. So
I told you three questions.
Need to make a change. Scott's got to get out of here.
Hey, it's not just the down years that he's on the hot seat. He's on the hot seat every damn day.
Yeah. But it's a fair question by Billy. Like, how much, like, if we're going to pie chart this thing, Kelly, how much percentage do we give to Scott? I mean, let's be honest. Come on.
You know, Scott and I are very different. We're very different people. And, you know, I do think it sometimes is hard. Because I have a certain vision and maybe he doesn't, like, you know, connect with that vision. But most of the time, it's not intentional. I think that for him, he really defers to me on the mindset stuff. He knows that I'm really passionate about it. I'm really good at it. And he loves the tactical piece. He loves to be a tactician and he's really good at connecting with the student athletes. We're kind of like yin and yang together. And so, you know, I think it required a lot of strong communication. There definitely was, you know, moments where I pushed and, you know, he's really good at being patient and kind of understanding and also just being respectful of me being a strong female leader. He never wants to step on my toes in that area. He wants to embrace, like, what I want to do. And he finds a great way to kind of get his opinions across as well. So, I do think there was moments that it was tough during that stretch where we weren't going good. But I think that was also part of the reset, is that when we reset, we really made a pact. Like, we're going to do this together. We got to trust each other. And, you know, we gotta believe in each other. And so I think it was a building process as well, but I think it really came to fruition this year as well.
I'm teasing. I love him. He deserves a lot of the credit. I know that. And you deserve more, just so we're clear. Okay. I'm hesitant to do this, Billy. I want you to understand. Okay. The person that you are speaking to, because I'm hesitant to let you ask another question here. But the person that I am speaking to, right, you're just realizing how great she is.
Well, no, I mean, you have more national championships than Nick Saban. I feel like you should steal the title of Coach K, because he only has 5 national championships.
Oh, so, like, I love that.
Yeah, like, I know who I'm talking to. I have a question, and it's a little more personal, and obviously we can avoid it if you want, but, like, is it hard to have like a spouse on your coaching staff? Like, how does that work at home? Like, does that change the dynamic at all? Or, like, if there's like a question,
Kelly's
like,
the boss, that's how it works.
Well, no, like, if there's like a thing where it's like, what are we going to eat for dinner? It's just like, look, I've made enough decisions during the day, Scott, you figure it out. I don't want to make any more decisions today. You know,
I do think it's a little hard. I think that, you know, we have to communicate well. We also have to set boundaries. I think it's hard because, like, I'm very different than Scott. Like, I'm more of an introvert. So, like, I don't want to always talk about things. And I have gotten to the point with us coaching together for so long now where, you know, if he starts talking about something and I'm just not prepared to have that discussion, I just say, like, no. And he knows to respect that. He will just say, all right, yeah, I totally get it. And I think that, like, we kind of both can do that. And, you know, we have to set boundaries. We have to set times where, you know, lacrosse doesn't dominate the conversation. We also have to separate, like, the conversations from our kids, because we don't want them to be a part of every conversation that we have with our program and everything. And you know, our older daughter is at a very, like, impressionable age. So, you know, we have to make sure we're good leaders in that realm too. And honestly, like, being parents together, I think we see some of the lessons from our own kids and, you know, some of the things that, like, they go through that maybe, like, when we didn't have kids at that age, we didn't understand as well what parents go through when they send their kids off to college and you know, just the emotional piece of that. So I think that, yeah, it's all interconnected. I think boundaries are the key to our success. But just like any relationship, it's not perfect. And we really have a great level of respect for each other and care for each other. And I think that, like, that always wins the day.
Kelly, how do you feel about the nickname Coach K? I think it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind it. that's one of Scotty's favorite coaches, because he coached at UMass.
Right. Oh, that's right. That is right. Okay. Well, tell them there's a new Coach K in town, okay?
I have to confess that at one point, I like to reach out to different coaches just blindly and see if they'll contact me back. And I did reach out to him at one point, tried to get him, and he didn't contact me back. He wasn't as good as Belichick. Belichick called me right back.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, listen, I will inform Coach K, because he will call me back. I will tell him there's a new Coach K and it's not him anymore. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I love that. Billy, keep in mind, okay, the person you're speaking to is in charge of my child for the next 3 years.
Coach K, yeah.
Tread lightly. Kelly, I want to get a little technical with you for a second here, because I thought you made... Sure. Two moves during the season that really, really improved your team. Sammy yep. White is such a great kid and a great player, but you kind of waffled between midfield and D, and then you just settled. You realized, hey, I got a great defenseman here, and you stuck her on defense full time. That plus moving Carly Mahoney from midfield to D, for me, made your defense, which already had Kendall and Burks there, but it made your defense the best defense in the country. Is that fair?
I think it's absolutely fair. I think that Sammy had worked really hard over the summer on her offensive game, and we're never really sure how our team will shape up. And with the lefties, they're a really important facet of our offense. And, you know, she's a strong lefty that actually has tremendous offensive skills as well. But I think that halfway through that Boston College first game in the regular season in February, we ended up moving her to D, and I think she wanted it. She wanted it in that moment. And subsequent to that game, me and Scott and her sat down and had a conversation and, you know, just basically discussed that, like, we felt that for the betterment of a team that might be, you know, the best move for us, and kind of asked her how she felt about that, because we wanted her to buy into that concept, and sure. And she was all for it. And then, you know, in addition, I asked Carly Mahoney and same type thing, sit down conversation. Hey, you know, we think that you could really help us, you know, level up our athleticism on the defensive end. And she was just like, yeah, absolutely. Anything that gets me on the field, I'm for. So those two moves, you're absolutely right, were key. And then it was like, okay, we got the group, and then they started to gel together. And then it was like, okay, we're starting to not just win games on offense, we're starting to make some gains on the defense. And I think we made tremendous gains the year before on the defensive end too. And I think adding Alexis and Charlie to our staff as well was huge for our defensive end. And, you know, Scott had kind of had the offense roll in the year before. So we really, you know, put a lot of emphasis on the D right from the beginning of the season in the fall. So those were key. And I'm glad that you said that, because I really feel, you know, we didn't get a lot of attention defensively, but I think that was a big part of our success.
Oh, they were fantastic. And how about Molly, your goalie? Like, when you plucked her out of the transfer portal, did you think she'd be this good? Because what she turned into, Kelly, was the best goalie in the country, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's kind of funny. I think it was Elle Hansen's senior year in high school. I went to one of her playoff games. Obviously Jane, her sister, was on the team as well. I wanted to go and support them and see them play. And who were they playing? None other than Newburyport. And in the cage was Molly. Huh. So I saw her and I was like, wow, this kid's unbelievable. So I went and talked to the coaches after the game, and she had already kind of gone down that road with Tufts and was pretty set. So I just always had it. And then when, you know, she got into the portal, we were like, oh my gosh, this kid is unbelievable. I told Scott, you know, I was like, this kid's unbelievable. I've seen her in action. And then obviously getting Division III goal of the year 2 years in a row, we felt that she could absolutely make the jump. And I think it took a little convincing for her to understand that she was good enough to make this jump. But once she did, and once she got that confidence, there was no stopping her. And she was at her best in the biggest moments, yes. Which, I mean, that's exactly what you want.
No doubt. You've won eight. I'll get you out of here in just a second. We appreciate it. You've won eight, yet this one seemed to be the most satisfying. I could be wrong. I didn't see your reactions to the other seven, but this eighth one sure seemed satisfying to you. Am I wrong in reading that? Or?
Yeah, I told a few of my close friends that, like, this eighth one almost felt like a new first. Right. You know, the first, it's like, and it was a longer road than the first one, because we won our first in our fourth year as a program. So, you know, there was a lot of patience, a lot of growth, a lot of transformation. I had to, you know, adjust to a whole new different style of student athlete, this generation being, you know, completely different than when I first started coaching, and just kind of adapt to that. And so I was just really proud of all of the work that myself, my staff, and all the people that have been involved in the program had put in to kind of get us to this point. So that's really what made it that special for me. You know, much like that first championship that we won. The only thing that would have made it better was if my dad was here to see it, but I know he was looking down on us.
Listen, I am wondering here because I said it the other day. Actually, I said it today on our show, Kelly, that Izzy Skane is the best lacrosse player in the country. And I'm not even certain that there's a close second. And I'm not just talking about the women's game. I'm talking about the men's game. Mm-hmm. She is, like, just talk about it. I know she's up for player of the year. So is Aaron. They have such great chemistry. But just talk about Izzy as a person and a player, because she stands out in a way that really no one else does, Kelly.
I mean, you know, we obviously had that close game against Michigan in the first round. And after that, I think she was just on another level. Her effort, her mental approach, I think we've worked a lot on that over the last number of years, obviously losing her season. So the year before, so her gratitude for the opportunity, she was not going to be denied. The way that she hustled on every play, it's just so beautiful to watch. It's like magic. And, you know, just how she moves. She's a big kid and she moves it just so incredibly. I don't think I've ever had someone like that. We've obviously had some tremendous people in our program, but the sheer strength and ability to move her body on a dime, it's pretty special.
Yeah, she's a really special question. We'll get to a really special player. We'll get to Billy's three questions. I'm nervous about him in a second. But Kelly, I do have a question. I'm nervous about this one. I went to every single game. Only a handful of parents can claim that. Even the dreadful Marquette game, Kelly, okay?
I know, you were so cold that one.
It was freezing. And so I just...
You thought it was like our indoor facility.
There's nothing like your indoor facility. It's the Ritz-Carlton of indoor facilities. But I did go to the Marquette game, and there was like five of us there, and I feel like those five parents, perhaps... This is what I'm asking. I'll be direct. Do you want my ring size? Should I send it to you?
Oh,
what do you think?
God. Oh, my God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Send it over.
Oh, my God.
So you earned great. It. You earned it, John.
Oh, my God. You were too funny.
Coach Kane, does he annoy you with stuff like that all the time?
That's one of your questions.
No, you know, honestly, he goes through my husband, so he annoys him.
Wait, Billy, you have two more questions now. But Kelly, what I love, because you love to promote the sport means so much to you. Women's sports in general means so much to you.
Yep.
What I love about Izzy Skane and her story is it sends such a great message about your program, the way you recruit, and it sends a great message to other kids. Hey, you don't have to be from Maryland. You don't have to be from Long Island. You could grow up in the middle of Michigan and become the best lacrosse player in the world. And I think that is such a strong message to send to the rest of the country.
But yeah, what a great family. I mean, they're just unbelievable. I can remember she came on her visit after we talked after a camp that she came to, and both her parents were there. We sat down. We must have talked for 45 minutes to an hour. And at the end of it, they were like, oh, we got to go get the kids in the car.
That's great.
And it was just so tremendous. They are just an amazing group. They've got two other boys that are, one's at Penn and the other one's on his way to play college lacrosse too. Like just an honestly great family. And that's what makes Izzy special, is that she isn't just an athlete. She's an absolute competitor, great person. And, you know, she's so humble. She doesn't even want the limelight. She's just so awesome.
She's fantastic. All right, Billy, she's very busy. Okay, yeah. She has places to go, people to meet.
I'm good.
You have two more questions, Billy. I mean, you already asked two. I said three, and now you're about to go in for three and four. So,
well, I'm just curious kind of how John behaves at these games, because we've been told for years of tales of him as a coach getting ejected from games when he was coaching Rachel's team. So as a fan, as a parent, is he on better behavior, or do you ever kind of look back and tell him to pipe down?
I'm not like totally zeroed in on him, but I've never heard anything bad about him. I think that as a coach, when you are a coach, you actually have more respect for other coaches and, you know, just the process and, you know, how hard it is. And so I think that John brings that to our program. He has coached, he understands some of the challenges. He knows how to support. And he really honestly does an amazing job at that.
Mm. Oh, thank you. All right, Billy, you have one more.
Well, this isn't so much of a question. It's more of an apology, Coach K, because I was watching the national championship on ESPN.
Oh, boy.
And I was texting with John at the time. And, you know, I consider Rachel a little sister I've never met before. And I was kind of watching the game and you guys were up by a lot of points. And I thought, you know what? Now's a great time to put Rachel in there, get her some experience, get her out there, have her play in a national championship.
Play in the Final Four.
Well, you know, I was watching and I'm like, it's the fourth quarter here. We're up by 10. What are we doing? Let's get Rach out there. You know what I mean? And I told Sugats, I told John, I said, you know what? Like, I don't want to say it, but I feel like Coach K should be on the hot seat. What are we doing here? You know, we got to put in your daughter, get her some playing time. These seniors have been around long enough. They're not even going to be here next year. Like, let's get some team morale built up here and get Rachel some playing time, you know? So I guess I'm sorry about wanting you fired, but.
Is there a question?
No, I was going to be honest.
You obviously never coached.
Oh, that's supposed to mean, geez. I had more faith in your team that they weren't going to blow it than you did. You kept the starters in there the whole time.
Well, you know, we were up by about 9 the year before with 9 minutes left and yeah. We blew it. So
oh, wow.
I was. Jeez. We weren't letting our foot off that gas pedal. And honestly, the moment was just so, so crazy. I was so laser focused. And
I don't want you to answer this. You don't need to answer to him. He shouldn't have fired you.
No, I apologize.
Put you on the hot seat after winning your 8th national championship. What he's trying to say, Kelly, is they care about me. They care about my family. We're a big family. I think, Billy, correct me if I'm wrong, you're keeping your eye on the situation. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just watching from afar.
I think that your reaction is the typical reaction of every ordinary parent.
Thank you.
And I think that what made this team special is that all the parents, all the student athletes, they really embrace their role and they understand that they had to give up sometimes a little bit of self for the greater good so that we could achieve. And, you know, honestly, like that this group was so special because of that. And there is so much of what you just hit me with in sports today. And it's truly unfortunate. But being part of something bigger than you yourself and actually achieving it, no one can ever take that away from you. And it's really a cool thing. And I hope that, you know, every kid on this team learned that lesson, and I hope we can continue to teach that lesson because it's a transformative thing. And in your life, you're not always gonna, you know, be that first one that goes in or have all the attention on you, and you might need to play the role that no one talks about. And that's a very important role. And what Rachel did and some of the other kids that you didn't see on that field did for this team, it was a game changer for us.
Yeah. You're going to ask another one, Billy. I texted you back when you were texting me at the game. She's not playing today, nor should she.
Yeah, that's what I said. Well, I'm protective, as I said. You mentioned giving up, but did John mention he's going to give you guys a generous gift for winning the national championship, your program?
He did not, but we'll accept that with open arms.
You're an a- know that? I never said that. Oh my God, Kelly, this has been fantastic. Listen, the TV ratings were up, the numbers were through the roof. It's a great time for women's sports. But I want you, just on the way out here, quickly, if you don't mind, talk about the state of women's lacrosse, where you want to see it go, what your vision for is it moving forward. You're coaching Team USA, which is exciting. You care about mm-hmm. this thing more than most, more than anyone I've met, to be honest with you. So just talk about it and promote it the way you want to talk about it and promote it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that the sport is absolutely booming. It's growing so much from coast to coast. And, you know, you can drive down the street and see lacrosse nets on front yards. And it's truly awesome. The women's game is one of the most exciting sports, I think, to watch. What great athleticism these kids possess. You know, with the addition of the shot clock a number of years ago, it's really, really fun to watch. You know, there's so much scoring. You can get up to, you know, 20 goals in a game. So from a fan perspective, it's really, really an exciting, fast, athletic game. And I really hope that, you know, the TV networks will continue to push the coverage. I think we're still behind softball at some level in terms of just the sheer amount of coverage, but I hope that, you know, we can continue to push it forward because it is a really, really special sport. And most people that are exposed to it never go back. They become loyal followers of the sport. And we've transformed a lot of people here in the Illinois area. But I hope that continues to go. And where my involvement in the USA program, like my vision is just hopefully I can, you know, help it grow and potentially help it get into the Olympics at some point. I think that would be amazing for our sport from an international perspective. But USA is the leaders in terms of just how much involvement we have in the game right now.
All right, Kelly, I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for Scott, your entire family, your entire staff, and of course, that wonderful team that you put together. I don't care about any of the stuff Billy asked. All I care about is in a single year, me and my wife have both seen a more confident kid, a more mature kid, and a better kid, yep. And you're the reason for that, and that's all I care about.
I appreciate that. That is a great perspective, and you know, we thank you and all the families and people involved in the program for the level of support that we received. I knew before the game we had them when the crowd roared double the level of what our opponent was doing. So it was pretty exciting.
Great, great bunch of parents. And you're a great coach and a great parent yourself. Kelly, thank you so much. Congratulations, 8 national championships. There's a new Coach K in town, and it's not Mike Krzyzewski, okay? Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you so much. Take care. Go, Cat.
Stu Gatz here from my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't: the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. For me, it is simple. What I want out of my light beer is ice cold and great taste, and that's exactly what I get from the original light beer, Miller Lite. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most, a light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.